Welcome to Open Source Underdogs. I'm your host, Mike Schwartz, founder of Glue, and this is episode 67 with Peter Farkas, co-founder and CEO of FerretDB. Why FerretDB and not PigeonDB? That's a very good question. Whereas pigeons are underappreciated for their speed and resiliency, ferrets are fierce and furry and loved by everyone except Rudy Giuliani. A MongoDB API with Postgres storage, Ferret is a database platform that seems to have a similarly wide appeal. I guess the 800-pound gorilla in this market is MongoDB itself, with around $35 billion in equity market cap. But in addition to MongoDB, Amazon has also implemented a Mongo-conformant API that uses some kind of Amazon storage. Is there room in this very competitive and well-capitalized Mongo Cloud database ecosystem for a scrappy startup with a good technical idea and a track record of reliable operation? I recorded this episode at the State of Open Conference, or SOCON, which is the largest FOSDEM fringe event. If you can make it to SOCON, I highly recommend it. Unlike FOSDEM, it's a more traditional event with badges and keynotes and registration and coffee or tea if you're British. And after the chaos of FOSDEM, it's a nice change. So this year, SOCON rented around 5 media vans specifically to record podcasts. So thanks a lot, conference organizers. It was a pretty great idea. And there's a picture of Peter and I donning the Underdogs headsets on the episode website. Well, with that unusually long intro, here's the interview. So FerretDB was founded a little more than 2 years ago. You were probably thinking about it for a while before that. What was the spark that led you to actually take action and start the thing? And was the plan always to start a business around FerretDB?
So MongoDB decided to leave its open source roots around 2018. And all of the co-founders of FerretDB worked with open source databases for close to a decade. Peter Zaitsev, one of our co-founders, maybe 20 years. After MongoDB went public with SSPL and their departure from open source, we've been waiting for a couple of years, whether there will be a fork or if the community is going to do something about it, and nothing really happened. So there was no fork, there was no OpenTofu-like reaction to MongoDB's move, and in 2021, we just decided that something needs to be done. That was the time when we started FerretDB as a side project, mid-2021.
So FerretDB has over 8,000 stars on GitHub, which is fantastic. That's a lot. How did you go about promoting the project to the developer community to build that kind of support?
That was the beauty of FerretDB. When we started the project, we were not sure whether someone is going to be interested at all. Since there was no OpenTofu-like reaction to MongoDB's departure from open source, we were not sure whether the community even cares. If you take MongoDB, there's not a lot of community around the product itself, in a sense that most of the community consists of users rather than developers of the MongoDB codebase. And so we were unsure what will be the reception. And when we started working on FerretDB again as a side project, we just created a tech demo. We published it on GitHub. And I think the first 4,000 stars came in around 2 days. So we did not do promotion and we did not expect this kind of outpouring interest in FerretDB. And I think part of the reason why the interest was high is because we are building on Postgres, and the Postgres community really feels strongly about open source and about open source databases, and they want Postgres to succeed in various different use cases, such as document database or MongoDB compatible use cases. So I think that most of the support came from the Postgres community initially.
So what product features do you see as the most strategic to develop this year or in the near term? And how do you think these features will help the business?
As much as it sounds crazy from someone who leads VC-funded startup, we are not really concentrating on the business part because we know that the business success comes after strong adoption and ways to utilize FerretDB in meaningful, larger use cases. So the most important to us is to increase compatibility with MongoDB. We want the user experience to be seamless in a sense that if you use a certain tool or framework with MongoDB, you need to be able to use that with FerrettDB as well without modifying anything in your code. So that's our goal. But this is definitely not easy. There are a lot of features in MongoDB. Some of these features are not used by many, but would still be used by a very popular framework. And then we need to pay attention to that exact framework to make sure that, for example, Meteor, which heavily utilizes OPLOG, which is a deprecated feature in MongoDB itself. We need to be very conscious about developing features which would result in many developers being able to use FerrettDB in place of MongoDB through their favorite framework, through their favorite tools. What's more important for us is to work with the community on establishing an open standard around document databases. So we don't want to chase MongoDB with their features for eternity. That's impossible. What we want to do is we want to work with the existing MongoDB alternatives to establish an open standard similarly to how SQL came to be. Where if you use SQL, you can query a Postgres database, you can query a MySQL database, and you know any other relational database out there. When it comes to MongoDB, there's no such standard. So the best you can do is to become MongoDB compatible. But it's like saying that MySQL is IBM DB2 compatible. Do we say that ever? No. It supports the SQL standard, it implemented it, and that's why you can use SQL across the board with relational databases. So we want to arrive to the same situation with document databases where it's no longer MongoDB compatible, it's compatible with an open standard.
Do you actually have customers who've raised their hand and said, I want to pay you guys for services or support?
Yeah, we were very lucky. So I think right at the second month, we were bringing in revenue. And that was a reassuring feeling that this is something which is sustainable.
So what was the value proposition for those customers?
I think that the value proposition here is that many customers have existing Postgres infrastructure. And they also have MongoDB, and they need to maintain the internal know-how about these very different databases. They need to pay services for both, and they can just combine the two databases into one and care only about Postgres, run FerrettDB on top of it, and they end up with much simpler infrastructure.
Is the open source really your only channel? Do you do any other marketing?
We are, I think, 80% engineering, and then we have attention to channel partners, those Postgres providers who are interested in providing further services to their customers. We don't run an expensive marketing machine, and we feel that we don't need to at this point. We have enough on our plate, on our roadmap to care about.
So it looks like a relatively small team right now. How much of your time does your team spend on R&D versus providing services to customers? Because there's always some friction when you're providing services. Are you working on the product? Or are you helping customers? And those things can collide. So how much time do you spend actually on R&D?
Initially, we signed a contract which took away some of our focus from R&D itself because that customer wanted us to develop features which were not on our roadmap. And right now, what we are focusing on is to team up with customers who need services and features in close connection to what we have on our roadmap, meaning that it's more like a reprioritization of R&D instead of going entirely different direction with our development efforts. So I believe that with this approach, we were able to, this is a ballpark number, but I think 80-85% of our time is still spent on developing FerrettDB, sometimes in relation with what our customers would also want us to do.
Have you seen any material code contributions from the community?
Yes, that was we had a lot of interesting surprises like that. So first of all, there are a lot of individual contributors. And we really like them because they also want FerrettDB to succeed and they are invested. And they, I think we have 4 or 5 new contributors every month. But the most surprising were the likes of SAP, for example. One day we just woke up to SAP pushing code in our repo, and that was great because that meant that it's not only FerretDB incorporated developing FerretDB, but others who are interested in creating compatibility with their own products and MongoDB using FerretDB. That was also a very reassuring moment that it's not only us who want to make this happen, but some key players in the industry as well.
I see you're offering services, or we talked about that. It sounds a little bit like Percona in a way, which I guess makes sense because I see Peter Zaitsev is also one of the founders. Is services the main way you intend to monetize? And what are some of the trade-offs you anticipate with this monetization strategy versus, let's say, licensing or cloud, which are the two most common monetization strategies for database vendors?
So we do services because we know how to do that. I think that's the short answer. So working at Percona really taught us how to provide great services to demanding customers. That doesn't mean that we are not looking at other sources of, you know, additional monetization. We are planning to roll out our managed service. So we will have a cloud-based offering. The reason why we think that is important is because if you take a look at the SSPL license, it positions MongoDB Atlas and some of MongoDB partners as the sole providers of services around MongoDB or a MongoDB-compatible database. And we want to challenge that. So first of all, we want to enable other providers who did not get a seat at the table with MongoDB Inc. to provide services for MongoDB users with FerretDB, but we also want to do our own cloud service offering, and that's something we are working on, and it's definitely a challenging task. Back to your question, services is just the easiest way of putting an open source project onto a sustainable trajectory.
So you say you want to be an open source alternative to MongoDB, but how do I know you won't change the license after the project gets some adoption? The project and the trademark is controlled by your for-profit company. Why should we trust you?
So, Mike, would it make any sense to do the same thing as MongoDB? I mean, trust will be required. I'm not going to state that, hey, trust everyone blindly. I think whenever you choose a provider for an open source offering, I think trust is definitely going to be one of the items you need to think about. But doing the same thing as MongoDB in FerretDB's situation is just pointless. I don't think that the market would react in any kind of positive way to that. It's not something we can afford to do.
Well, so you say that now, but after a billion downloads and you go public, and Pete Farkas is not CEO anymore,
yeah,
the new Pete Farkas might feel differently. Have you considered, you know, for example, Postgres, I believe, has a foundation. The Linux Foundation is great. There's several other foundations, you know, you could look at. Why not contribute the code and make it community governed so that both the trademark and the code are really protected?
It's in the works. When we started FerretDB, the traction was not enough to even sit down with the, you know, rest of the industry and talk about these things. What I can say at this point is that it's in the works, so it is going to happen in some shape or form. We don't expect the market to blindly trust FerretDB. We don't want to do the same thing as what MongoDB did. We trust the existing mechanism of the open source community, which is available to us to take care of this. So we sat down with many in the industry, in the MongoDB alternatives market, and we are actively trying to figure out a way on how to increase this trust. So FerretDB is not going to be the only company you can get FerretDB from. That's not our goal. What is going to happen after we do an IPO, for example, in 10 years? That's a question I get surprisingly often, and from my position right now, this is very hard to imagine. But let's take the example of HashiCorp. So it's obviously really bad what happened, and the CEO departed shortly after or before, I don't remember. So they did not agree with the direction, seemingly, or just had enough of this, you know, this whole ordeal of deciding whether HashiCorp is an open source company or not. But what's interesting about this situation is that we need to ask the question, did HashiCorp provide value to the open source community or users in general in the decade or I don't know how long they developed the software? If you ask me, I think they did. I think they did provide a lot of value, and OpenTofu is free to take that over and develop it further. So it's not all bad, in my opinion. On the other hand, I also would have preferred if they stay open source and prove the market and prove investors that a company, an open source company like HashiCorp, can still exist without changing the license. That would be my preference as well.
So I have to apologize. I haven't been able to do all my research yet. I heard you mention venture capital. Have you raised venture capital? And if so, why or why not?
We absolutely did not plan to raise venture capital because, first of all of the co-founders at FaraDB are coming from a bootstrap background, the complete opposite of a VC-funded startup. And then after the GitHub project became popular, we started getting a lot of offers from investors, and we rejected a lot before talking to our current investors. The reason why we rejected the initial offers of the investors we got in touch with is because they did not understand open source. So for example, some investors asked us, okay, and when are you going to change the license? And, you know, that's not a good start, right? But there are investors who understand open source, and there are investors who are patient enough that they give the chance for FaraDB or some other company in open source to provide value to the community. They understand that it's not all about the license. There are successful open source companies which took VC investment, and they are looking at those examples instead of, hey, how many licenses did you sell last month? So after meeting investors like that, we were confident that this was the way for us to go. We needed a lot of capital to hire our current team, 10 people as of now, and we also needed a lot of time. An open source project, in order to get the necessary amount of traction, and I'm not talking about GitHub stars, I'm talking about real traction, like the number of contributors. That's a much more meaningful metric here in terms of measuring contribution. So in order for that to happen, you can do all kinds of marketing and outreach and developer advocacy, but what you need first and foremost is time. Time for the market, time for developers to understand what is this, time for them to hear about it, and then you have real attraction. For that, you need runway. We are already 2 years old, still running on our initial round, and without taking investment, this wouldn't have been possible.
Do you see any partnerships with other business or organizations as critical to your success?
Very much so, because as I mentioned earlier, the whole point of SSPL is to make sure no one provides MongoDB as a service. Since FaraDB can enable cloud providers and Postgres as a service providers to do just that, these partnerships with them are very important to us, and we are working with many of these companies to roll out FaraDB as a service. If you take a look at our social media, we are full of these articles or videos where Superbase or UbiCloud or Scaleway or Sivo or some others decided to try out FaraDB, make it part of their offerings maybe, and see where that leads to.
It sounds like you're being rather capital efficient in terms of hiring and building the team. What do you think are the most important roles for you to fill in the next year or two?
For the initial years, R&D is the obvious reason why you would want to hire. So you hire engineers, you hire very capable technical people. But as the product matures and as there are more users, you need more service-oriented people, salespeople, marketing people. And this is what we are seeing as the next evolution of FaraDB as a team, where we have more people who support the business side of things. And by supporting the business side of things, we increase the sustainability of the project itself. We are really talking about a project and a business next to it. These are really two separate things in my mind. FaraDB is a project and FaraDB is a business. And for the last 2 years, we were focusing on the project. And as the project evolves, we will need to focus on the business.
Maybe just to make it a little more specific, what's the next hire you're looking for in the executive team?
The next hire would be sales, I believe, simply because pricing and coming up with terms for a contract is definitely not something which I, as a service-oriented person or engineers developing the software, should come up with.
So you've been involved in a couple of startups. I saw you founded a more than one company. So my closing question is, do you have any advice for new entrepreneurs who are launching a business around an open source software project?
I think that the best advice I could give, especially talking to some founders just starting out, is to try and solve a problem rather than to find a technology you fall in love with. So solving a problem is a lot more important, and that's what is going to give you traction. That's what is going to give you opportunities. If you just find a cool technology you want to play with, let's say AI. Okay, but what are you going to use AI for? That's the question. It's not AI. That's not a product. That's not something you can do anything with or your customer would be able to do anything with. What is the problem AI going to solve, or your new database is going to solve? Or I think that's the real question. And not all founders raise this question initially, I believe.
Okay, I said I was the last question, but I'm going to ask you one more question. So mongooses are, they're kind of badass. They fight cobras, and ferrets are kind of cute and cuddly. Are you sure you want to be a ferret?
The story of ferret and why ferret, that's the second most common question we are getting. It's just insanely hard to find a domain name. Let's face it. We were ferretdb.io even, not even .com. We just recently were able to get the expired domain ferretdb.com because there was a database of various kinds of ferrets at ferretdb.com. So it's insanely hard. I think the naming of the company is by far my least favorite thing to tackle. And I would not tell you the truth if I would tell you that we had this concept initially because none of us are native English speakers. But after naming FaraDB, we found out that to ferret out is something that exists in the English language, meaning to carefully search for something. And I think that's just a great name for a database in the end, because that's what a database does. So FaraDB it is. I don't think it's rare to find weird animal names in open source anyway.
So Peter, thank you so much for spending time today. I love what you guys are doing, and thank you for sharing your experience with our audience.
Thank you so much, Mike. It was an honor to be here, and hope to talk to you soon.
Thanks to the FaraDB team for the cool stickers and the social media retweets. Cool graphics from Kamal Bhattatarji, music from Broke for Free, Chris Zabriskie, and Lee Rosevier. Special thanks to Alex Izza from Resonance Public Relations for the logistical help. Actually, Alex has suggested two more interviews, which you'll hear in the next 2 weeks. Solomon Hikes, founder of Dagster and formerly co-founder of Docker, and Patrick Backman, one of the co-founders of MariaDB and an original team member of MySQL. Hopefully, I'll have that out in the next week or so. So until then, thanks for listening.